Mom and I are going to get to the Eastern Gate at the same time. Yeah. We had a memorial service for Mom some time back when she was 93. But you know, God don't count years. 1,000 years with God is a minute, and a minute is 1,000 years. You're not going to confine Him to time. And so the very minute you draw your last breath, you're on God time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know how long God time lasts? Just as long as God's time has lasted. And that's free. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 48. And we'll look at 12 verses there. And then when you have got Genesis chapter 48, put your finger there. Flip on over to Hosea. Just let that go. I'll read Hosea to you. It's just one verse, okay? I don't want to overload you with too much to do here this morning. Okay. Now let me, while you're looking, I knew where we were going, so I got there first. But let me encourage you, honor, at least recognize our graduating seniors. They've reached a millstone in their lives, and we want to help them recognize that tonight. So, Alan has prepared a real show for you. I think you're going to really enjoy it. So, please be here. Now, would you want to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 21 of the book of Genesis, chapter 48. Now, it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, "Indeed, your father's sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, "Look, your son Joseph is coming to you." And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the lands of Cana and blessed me and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I'll make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.'" Stop. Hold your note. All of those is's and everybody else is trying to throw them out. Ain't going to do it. That's just not God's plan. And listen, folks, this applies. When it's not in God's plan, it just isn't going to work no matter how good it looks. Footnote, ask Marilyn Monroe. Ask Elvis Presley. Ask that multitude of people that use the talent that God gave them to make wealth and fame and died the most miserable of people. Now, what verse did I get to? Told you to hold your finger there. Okay. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offering, excuse me a minute. Thought for a moment I'd left my water down there. Okay. Now, if I don't have enough voice to finish this sermon, please do not applaud. Okay. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They'll be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. Now listen, you go figure that out. If you want about a week and a half of good, solid Bible study, you just go figure that out. These are mine, but the other ones, they're like your brothers. But as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Cana, and on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephraim. And I buried her there on the way to Ephraim, that is Bethlehem. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said to his father, "They're my sons, whom God has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me and I'll bless them." By the way, that was a time when Dad's blessings meant something. I mean, big time something. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age. Did you notice that Isaac went blind and now Israel's going blind? Must be a default in the genealogy of the genes of that. I said the wrong word. Genes of that family. And he said, "Please bring them to me and I'll bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them to near him. And he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "Listen now, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring." So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand towards Israel. Israel left. Well, let me back up and get that right because it's important. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and he brought them right up near to Israel. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head. Wrong one. Watch it now. And who was the youngest, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Israel, walked, the God who has fed me and all my life long to this day, the angel who was redeemed me from the evil, bless these lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations, not just people." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you, Israel will bless," saying, "May God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers." Now I'm going to move on over right quickly to the book of Hosea, chapter 7, verse 8. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Father God, may your word speak great volumes of truth, because I think and I believe that we as a nation have become a cake unturned. Excuse me, Father. I should say, as a people of God here in America, we have become a cake, half-turned or unturned. Give us strength, may we rise up. Give us boldness, may we stand firm. Give us what we need that we might become bold and be a cake turned, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And I am, thank you, be seated, and I am addressing this message to our graduating seniors and all who have graduated. Okay, now, here's Ephraim, a cake unturned. Reminded me, I used to be a pancaker. You see, this cake more resembles what we call Johnny cake, or pancake, or flapjack, than the kind of cake that you smear the icing on, put the candles on, and sing happy birthday to you. This is a common, everyday staple. And it's become unturned. Did you ever eat one of those? Did you ever eat a pancake that wasn't flipped? As our sons grew up and they began to have sons and daughters, and even as the sons were home, we had a griddle, a cast iron griddle, yeho big, about like that, and I became a pancake designer. You know, you can feed a half an army with a box of pancakes and don't cost you much at all. And so, we would go, a great group of us, we would go to northern Canada to fish for a week, and we'd always put our cast iron griddle in. Now, every time when we got to the place where we were loading the boats to go upriver to camp out on the lake, I've already forgotten the name of that lake. It was Little Current River, if you know, acquainted with northern Canada. We'd get to that griddle, and they'd say, "Why are we taking this heavy thing up the river?" Well, every kind of food that you could take with you, just about it, besides pancake mix and powdered milk, would ruin on you before the week was over, and you got to the place, can you believe this, guys? You get to the place where you just couldn't hardly stand to eat another walleye. That's a lot of walleye. We'd get there, but I want to tell you something. We had that griddle. Now, that griddle would hold 8 elephants. 10 gorillas. 20 apples. 12, 14 jaybirds. Now, all you've got to do, now listen, you ought to go try this. You get you a griddle, and you get you a squeezy bottle, and you make your pancake mix and put it in the squeezy bottle, and then, you stand right there over that hot griddle, and you design an elephant. You design, I can do it right now. The only thing I had a problem with was a giraffe. I'd break that dude's neck about every time I flipped him. But you had to flip him, because a cake unturned is not a very good cake. You'll try it. Next time you have pancakes, just, when it gets bubbly on the top, when you're supposed to turn it, just take it off the stove. Eat that thing. You know what it is, don't you? It's undesirable. It's untasty. It's detestable. What he is saying here is, if we back up and took Ephraim's whole story, all the way from Genesis 7, I believe. Anyway, all the way from the time Ephraim's birth is announced in the Word of God, if we took his whole story, this is how it looks like. He's a kid, and he comes to his grandpa's house. Don't you love to go to grandpa's house? I always wanted to go to grandpa's house. One grandpa didn't want me to come to his house. And the other grandpa didn't have a house. He lived with an uncle who didn't want me to come to his house. Don't you love to go to grandpa's house? And by the way, Peggy and I just love to have our grandkids come. And we get as many as 20, 25 in the house. You know what you're going to have for breakfast, don't you? That's right. Gorillas and giraffes and jaybirds and whatever the order was. Now, every grandson said to me, "Grandpa, when I get grown, I'm going to open up a restaurant. You and I are. And we're going to sell pancakes." Now, we never did. But would you believe two of those dudes were inspired enough that they are now chefs, one at Shepherd of the Hills and the other at the Texas Roadhouse over in Missouri. But, you know, maybe there was a little inspiration there. But he is saying here, don't go halfway. Let me finish up my illustrations and I'll preach a fast sermon. It won't last over an hour. Over in Zurich, in the Alps, there's a roadhouse. Many, many people visit that roadhouse. I went there on a tour bus. We were in Switzerland and had a layover for a day and a night, and we had a chance to ride the bus up there, and I'd always want to see that because I knew this story. And this is the story. People go up to the trailhead by the multitudes, and they start climbing the mountain. And up there, you can see it, it's glassed on both sides, is the roadhouse. And it's a little rocky, and it's a little steep, and there are places that are pretty hard along the way. But you can make it all right, because I was an older man, and I made it fine. And when you get to the roadhouse, you stop, and golly, there's coffee and tea and cappuccino, all kinds of drinks, all kinds of cookies, all kinds of German cakes. And everybody, and there's entertainment there. Just have a good time, smiling, laughing. Everybody's had a pretty good time going up the trail. But it comes time that the guide says, we need to go on to the top. And that side of the roadhouse is also glassed. You can see on this side where you come from. Well, that wasn't too bad. I made it. It's okay. I made it. Better than I thought. Then you look up. Gets steeper up there, more rocky, more cliffy. You know, you can see the spots. It's going to really maybe be tough. You're not sure. And about half of that crowd decide to stay there at the roadhouse. And they're having fun. They're laughing. They're drinking more cappuccino. Some ale, I won't tell you what that is, but anyway, some coffee, eating those German cakes, they're having a ball, just laughing, cutting up, having fun, and every once in a while they look out, and that bunch is toiling on. I mean, it's tough, you can tell they're struggling. But after a while, guess what? You hear the yays, and the yes, and all the clapping and the cheering. They made it! You can see them up there just jumping up and down and having a good time. They made it. And suddenly, everybody at the roadhouse becomes quiet, sullen, depressed. There's no yays there. Why? Because they stopped halfway. Do you know what God said about Ephraim? Ephraim just reached half of his potential. He'd do good. He'd remember God's blessings. He'd remember his grandpa's blessing, his hands on him. He'd do good, and just, then suddenly find himself doing bad. Then he'd come back until finally he came to the place that he was about as disgusting to God as a cake half turned. As a senior, if you who have already graduated, if you only reach half of your potential, you, dear ones, will not live a happy life. You will not fulfill all that God has designed you for. Think of all the people who had great skill and great talent, but did not for whatever reason, did not fulfill that talent that God gave them. Listen, if you have any talent at all, any giftedness at all, and you don't utilize it, you're sinning against God. That's a gift from God to be used to glorify Him and to honor Him. And you say, but preacher, I can't sing. Got off the hook, didn't you? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Because every last one of us, where were we? We were in the book of Hosea. We were in chapter 7. And now listen to this. We're back to this guy, Ephraim. Ephraim, verse 8, has mixed himself among the people. Verse 11, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without any sense. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, verse 13, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They did not cry out to me with their heart when they wailed upon their beds. They assembled themselves together, the gain and new wine, for grain and new wine. They rebelled against me, though I discipled and strengthened their arms. Yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a treacherous bow. You ever shoot one of those? I bow hunt. Well, not anymore, unless I can find somebody that's got a real cheap crossbow. Because I just don't have it in me to pull that 65 pounds anymore. But there was a day when I had a good recurve bow. String was getting a little worn, a little fuzzy, a little frazzled. And so I waxed it down real good, like you're supposed to before the bow season starts. And I was out in the backyard practicing shooting at a little round bullseye on a bale of hay. And I pulled that sucker back and I anchored right where I was supposed to, right here, and looked down that arrow and turned it loose. And I don't know what happened. I had a treacherous bow. That wax, and as I pulled it back, it wasn't one of those new release things, you know, just from my fingers. When I pulled it back, that waxed string hooked in my mustache, rolled it up. When I turned it loose, it shot my lip out that far. I knew that arrow had broken and probably pierced my face till I looked at that string, and there was my mustache. It seemed to me like half of it rolled up on that string. They're like a treacherous bow. And their princes shall fall by the sword for the cursings of their tongue. They shall be their own derision in the land of Egypt. Now, listen. That's Ephraim. That's Ephraim's people. You see, Ephraim became not just a great nation. Ephraim became the name of the promised later in life. If you only reach halfway, I want to quickly tell you of two of our sons, our two oldest sons, quite a contrast. Kendall, and he only lives up at Coldwater. I hope some of these days soon you meet Kendall. Kendall never cracked a book. He never brought a book home. Son, don't you have homework? You already did it. Well, I already done them. But Kendall made straight A's. He just had no problem at all. He made straight A's. Now the next son, now you could say Kendall was smart. The next son, Dennis, he made straight C's, barely. Dennis only made C's because he wanted not only to play football in school, he wanted to wrestle as well. And to do two sports, you had to make C+. So he made C+. He'd bring books home. He'd sit up half the night. He'd cram and study. Barely made it. Now you would say he's not so very smart. He had several good scholarship offers to play football. And he just knew he couldn't make a grade in college, so he went to the Marines as a grunt. No, now, listen, no reflection on grunts. That's one of the best decisions he ever made. Because it just kept him 3 years, that's all. When he got in the Marines and they began to run tests, they found out his IQ was 140. Now, that's better than his dad's, by about 50. That's good. I mean, you could say he's smart. And I can stand here and tell you that neither really reached all the potential that they had. And to a degree like their father, they were a cake half turned. You who have already graduated, you who have already earned that degree from high school, you have the opportunity to look back. I dare you. I dare you. How many giraffes are on your griddle with a broken neck? How many elephants are there, unturned, bubbly in the middle, delicious? You know, did you ever check that out? Why in the world is pancake mix in the bowl, what do you call that, raw? Come on, ladies. Is it just raw? You haven't put it on the griddle yet? And you run your finger around there? And it's pretty doggone good, not bad at all. You put it on the griddle, get it nice and bubbly around here, and you know it's good and brown on the bottom, and you take some of that, you just can't hardly stand it. Now, I don't know why that is. Look back. How many pancakes unturned in your life? Some of you sitting here today, God's gifted you. And as he said here, for Ephraim, Ephraim believed in me, Ephraim trusted me for my salvation, and I gave him my salvation, and it was his. And we sing that song, Everlasting God, oh my goodness. I was about to jump off the pew there, but I can't jump anymore. I don't know how some of you youngins stayed sitting down. Listen, listen to me. Don't be a cake half turned. And listen to me. I hope you understand this. Stay on the griddle. If this pancake gets turned and gets good and brown, you can flip it out here. Stay with me now. Somebody will eat it. Make sure you're useful. Make sure what you're doing produces good for everybody. Somebody will eat it. Did you ever see a pancake thrown in the waste can? Not unless it was unturned. I'm going to tell on you. We go to the restaurant, you know, and I've said, listen, hon, I'm going to buy you a really nice meal. The waitress comes and says, what do you want, sir? I'll take a steak. Okay. What about you, ma'am? I'll have pancakes. In fact, sometimes she orders for me. You know, if we're at McDonald's, she'll say, you ordered the big breakfast. Is it? It's not the Big Mac now. What is it, a big breakfast? Is that what it is? Anyway, I get the sausage, I get the eggs, I get the biscuits, I get the honey. She gets pancakes. Somebody will see you and you'll make a difference. Your life can count all the time. You can keep a hot cake on the griddle all the way from here to the time God becomes everlasting, everlasting. And you're God with him, everlasting, everlasting. Don't be a cake half turned, because if you are, you'll come to that place that God will say, I no longer, I hate to say this, and sometimes I wonder, God, are you going to keep your word? I no longer going to bless. I have to remember that God knows what I'm going to do next. He ought to throw me in the waste can, a cake unturned. And a lot of us, gifted, talented, but we forget it's for the glory of Jesus Christ and His church. That's my last point. You who are going to graduate this year, next year, listen, make sure that your life is invested in the glory of Jesus Christ and His church. And all of we, every last one of us. I think perhaps this is why retirement became so dull and so repulsive to me, is that retirement for me, now I'm not talking about you, let it be whatever it needs to be, but retirement for me was not for the glory of Jesus Christ and His church. And that's what our life is supposed to be. Amen? Is it? Or is God saved? Cake, not turn. Would you stand?